things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through being hitherto accustomed to idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. Only take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, a man of knowledge, at table in an idol's temple, might he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak man is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is the cause of my brother's falling, I will never eat meat, lest I cause my brother to fall. And this ends the first reading.
Thank you, Amy. Young people, as I get my pen ready to go, so I can write down your pearls of wisdom that you're going to offer us here in just a moment, let me start by saying, you know, there are certain words, right, and concepts in the kingdom that, well, I know what that is, but if I stop and have to put pencil to paper, perhaps it's a little more challenging. And then after I put pencil to paper and I try to figure that out, maybe I'm missing something as I think about it. For instance, don't have to define this one, what does it mean to be holy? There's a lot going on in that word, holy, the holiness of God, right living and all that. But today's word I want you to think about with me, and we're going to read about it together, which I throw my pen across the room, in Deuteronomy here in just a moment, is prophet. Susie's eyes go like, you didn't think she'd go, If she had a beard, she'd be doing that. She'd be playing with a beard if she had a beard, which would be weird. How do you young people define prophet? And I'll give you a moment, and then like always, if you don't answer, I'll just call on you, and you'll have to say something because you just do. So as Susie's back there kind of conclaving with the fam, getting together here, she's getting ready. Because there are words, I'm stalling so you have a moment on prophet. There are words that have a big meaning. Like if I said there are no prophets in God's kingdom, never, you would say, whoa, that's a problem for us. And we could talk about why that is a problem for you. You would cause you to pause maybe for a moment. So I have stalled long enough as I move my iPad and get my pen ready and did the one I didn't throw across the room because it wasn't writing well. Define prophet, Jacob. Someone who foretold the coming of Christ. And on that one, I got it verbatim, didn't I? Usually I got it like, that's about what you mean, right? I got that verbatim, right? Someone who foretold the coming of Christ. Okay. Susie, what's a prophet? That was a pretty good answer. Yeah, Jacob gets a gold star for that today. If there's such a thing in heaven, Jesus is right on the chalkboard in heaven, if that's such a thing. I don't know. I'll let you know when I get there. We talked about things that we're going to find out in heaven, and that wasn't on there, the Sunday school today, but there's a lot of listen. Susie!
I was thinking someone that shares the gospel.
Someone who shares the gospel to other people. In that respect, what's the difference between a prophet and an evangelist? I did that on purpose, sorry. Okay, good. Don't have to answer the second question. I only asked you about prophet. Like, that's tough enough without any help. Sammy, help us out. Last one, prophet. Or if you can't come up with a definition, I would say, give us an example. Or kind of help us out. As Big Brother was trying to help you, I caught that earlier. So, you were not trying to help? Okay. Well, I looked like you were, but okay. Anyway. All right. Stalled enough, Sammy. What do you got? Profit. How do you define it? What is it? Predictions in general. Interesting. Thank you. So it's a big concept with a lot of little splinters that come off of it. And I'm curious, just quickly, bonus time, you know, final Jeopardy question. Can you, outside of biblical authors, taking all them away, you don't get to use them. Can you think of a prophet? Oh, can't say Isaiah. Darn it. Can you think of one? Final Jeopardy time. What do you think? If you don't. Okay. Can you think of a prophet? As the Carters, for those on Zoom and Facebook, you're snickering and trying to figure it out together. So, can you think of one? I'll give you a moment. If you do, just tell me. If you don't, we'll move on. Perhaps we'll find an answer to what that looks like when we read Deuteronomy together. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for your word written for us in the scriptures. As we now stop and we consider what's happening in this Bible passage, speak to our hearts and to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text for today is found in your pew Bible on page number 168. It is Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 20. Again, found on 168. Listen and hear God's word for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your brethren, him you shall heed, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they have rightly said all that they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not heed to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be together this morning, this snowy morning, considering your word. As we pause in our worship time, speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me say, as introduction, young people, that was a dirty trick I played on you because you had no lead time on it. And I don't know how many people in the Christian kingdom could come up with a very quick and clear definition of a prophet. It's a challenging one, but you did fine. So blessings to you. The context as we read Deuteronomy 18 is clear. Having been unfaithful to God's word, having been unfaithful specifically to God's direct action, and sinning against our God, Moses, as you know, is forbidden to enter the promised land with the remnant of the Israelites. They have wandered around for 40 years in the desert, as you know. As our text is now written, chapter 18, Moses sits before the people, probably on a rock or a higher place, one last time. And he tells the people his final messages. It comprises the entirety of Deuteronomy. What is required of them if they're going to be a covenantal people with God, and how they are to live in their community with people who don't always believe in that same God. Already by this point in chapter 18, Moses has reminded the people of the Ten Commandments. He has offered the children of Israel the famous words that the Pharisees will hold so close to their hearts before Jesus, something that they call the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one." Careful attention by now has been paid by Moses to the nature of their engagements with their local community. Purity laws have been established and commented upon in some degree. They're starting to get the framework together. Now, as we come to this passage, this is the moment where Moses reminds the people of a conversation that perhaps only he and God were aware of. In that conversation, God taught Moses about the role of the prophet in Israel moving forward. As Moses is being left behind, God reminds him of that, and it is then shared with the people. Someone from within you, Moses says to them, will rise up, will be risen up by God. They will have to speak for God, because I can't go with you, Moses tells them. The word of the Lord will come into their life, but only, Moses seems to hint, after they live a certain way. That relationship between that prophet and God, as it mirrors Moses and God's relationship, is what we're going to spend the majority of our time together thinking about. The first thing that I notice when I read chapter 18 is that there's a faithfulness going on here of the speaker being God first. God is faithful to us. As foundational as that is to the structure of your beliefs and who you are as a person, we can't lose track of it with all the other distractible concepts in Deuteronomy. If you sat down to read the book, it's a lot could distract you away. Don't forget, God is faithful. It's central. God is faithful to his people because he promised to be. Even though those same people aren't faithful to God, we know. But God offers them forgiveness. That too is part of the overall faithfulness of God. I will be faithful to you people, is what God says. And even after you sin, I will remain faithful, even though I don't have to. The Hebrews who hear Moses speak could, and they have, and they will continue to, fall prey to forgetting this nature of God. They will neglect their practices of faithfulness. They will stop being faithful to who God asks them to be. Their descendants will stop hearing the stories and teaching the words. After all, in their lives as well as in ours, there exists a great many other things to worry about than trying to be faithful to the revelation of God in our lives. These Hebrews will become distracted, move away from remembering that God is faithful. We can imagine, if we think about it for a moment, how that sort of process happens. It may sound something like this. How are we going to survive without Moses? It's a fair question for them. Moses has been before them since the very beginning. He's always been there. When the great movements of God have happened in their lives, Moses was there. He wasn't the cause of it. He wasn't the catalyst of it. But he was right there, crossing the Red Sea. Moses is there. Soon he won't be. What's our future look like without him in our context? It's a fair question. How will God bring about this prophetic individual from among us? Tells us where he's going to do it. What's it going to look like? In this case, this hasn't happened before. What makes us think it's going to happen now? They wonder. What makes us think we'll recognize it or validate it or embrace it? Or you can find your own question to that moment. All valid. And all answered by remembering that God listens to our prayers. He understands our struggles. God seeks to dwell with us when we are unclear because we live in communion with him. And again, he is faithful. Everyone here knows that God is faithful to them. We can testify in great detail. We'll do it here in a little while in our worship service. But those questions that the Hebrews have asked might also be questions that you've dealt with in your own life as you seek to affirm God's presence. Remember first, as Moses is telling them, God is faithful. Not only is God faithful in our text, but second, Moses is also faithful in a way that is applicable to him. We need to see both pieces of that conversation to begin to accept what we're reading together. Consider that at this time in Deuteronomy, like I've said, there has never been a person who lived and worked as Moses. No one has been physically that close to God. Up to this point, no one has ever spoken to God as face-to-face as Moses does, or however your mind imagines that face-to-face went, other than Jesus, who's in heaven. So thinking about someone following in Moses' steps is a hard ask, if not impossible. You mean I'm going to be standing before God like Moses did? Sure, God has done miraculous things in the Exodus stories, but until those plagues had happened, until that sea had parted, until that cloud and that fire was there, it hadn't happened. It hadn't happened. Moses is on untreaded ground theologically. And to return to last week, he is also on untreaded ground experientially with God. Now, it's easy for me to stand here and say, be faithful to you in your Christian walk as you're outside of this place. Be faithful to God. He's faithful to you. But it is quite a different thing to say, be faithful when the substance of what that looks like in your life has never happened before. We've never been on this ground. We've never been here before. Moses is faithful to what he does not always know or understand while living in the face of a God who is faithful and does understand. One does, one does not. Moses is faithful to the process, and God is faithful to Moses. The task in this passage and the task as we move on into our Christian life is always a complex and unfinished one. Part of what unites Christians to each other is an attempt to better understand the story of God and to learn how to shape it according to our lives and what we've encountered. Moses has to question it at some level. He has to work it out. The world in which Moses or us tread upon can be threatening. It was for Moses. They got upset with him. But only he and God together can figure out how to move forward, just as only you and God, in your own walk, in your own journey, in your own faith path, will figure that out together as a prophet of God. He is faithful to you. You are faithful to him. And together it comes together. If we believe that God is faithful and we remain faithful to that message given to us by God, even while we're still discerning it, then God will lift us up in a new way. From within, God will be present and call forth a response. And that is the basis of the prophetic work and prophetic office that this passage talks about. Something, someone, a collection of people, a church, a family, who are committed to a vision, a ministry, from within the body of Christ will share their gifts and minister together as Christ calls us. God and Moses have worked and lived collaboratively together, faithfully. So this prophet that this passage speaks about will also come from within and be collaborative. In this way, as you work together in families, in people, you will follow in the prophetic footsteps of those who came before you at this church and the Church Universal. You will live and serve in individual ways, but also ways that support and uphold the ministry of Christ at Plains, in the Presbyterian Church, and in the body of Christ Universal. But as you follow in Moses' footsteps and continue to engage in a back and forth conversation, as we do it together in our relationship with God, we find that we are becoming someone, people who are entrusted with the deep messages, the prophetic work that Moses had in Deuteronomy that's called for us in 2021. You have nurtured the type of relationship continually that this text indicates that Moses and God had together. And therefore, you are faithful, and the challenge lies before you. You have been honest with God when things about God and God's work have been unclear at times, but ultimately, in spite of any confusion that arose, any level of difficulty in being faithful, you did it. You pressed on. The world and culture pushed on you. Of course they did. But you were faithful. God was faithful. And you were risen up by God to serve. There was much hidden from the Israelites in this passage. They did not, I don't think, and could not fully understand the concept Moses offered them in this passage. But again, God didn't require them to, because God is faithful and does the work for us. Instead, God wanted them to do the best that they could do with lives that were in flux and things that were constantly moving when the target felt like it shifted, like it's done this past year with us. We tried the best we could to be faithful, and God honored that, and you were risen up. We often do not understand what is happening around us. There are many times I sit in my own chair and rock back and forth and say, Lord, what is going on out there? It's fair. But that's faithful to the nature of the relationship that God and I have. And God speaks to me as God speaks to you. Our faithfulness must take over when those moments arrive. When our heads peek out from a protective shell that we've built for ourselves and we need to extend ourselves just a little farther into the world, God will be with us. And as God is with us, from within us, something will rise up. Perhaps the work of the prophet. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for that we are together, even on a snowy, cold morning such as this. With our hearts warmed by your scriptures, we are blessed. Now, as we continue to worship you today, as we go our separate ways when the time comes, we pray, O Lord, we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to lean upon our relationship with you. And as we do so, as we share what we experience with you, we become those prophets, not just at Plains, but in our community. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Excuse me. In response to God's word, will you stand as you are able, as we join in one voice in confessing that which we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we continue to worship God together this morning and spend time as the body of Christ, we will have a number of prayer concerns that have come through all the ways, whether it's been through email or phone call or text message, or I've got them all for you today. So practically by a stork or whatever that would be, a bird, pigeon. So at any rate, before we spend time together doing that, where have you seen God at work? Bert. I would agree. I know we would all agree that God is there with us. Bert, thanks for sharing that with us. It is a blessing. I agree with you as well. To have those opportunities to fellowship together, to grow and to learn from one another, and not to solve all the problems. I don't think in Sunday school, at least to this point, we've solved all the world's problems except to say things like, only Jesus, in which case that would solve everybody's problem, we keep thinking. But leaving that commentary aside, it is good to be together that way. Thanks for reminding us of that today, Bert. Where have you seen God at work? Amy.
So Tim said to her,
kind of wondered. Did you get new glasses today? I sort of wondered about that. I wasn't sure, but thanks for sharing that with us this morning. And we're glad, Susan, you've had a few days to get used to the new glasses, and God has helped you with that. It is an adjustment period. You are correct. And glad it's working out smoothly. Your glasses from, 10 yards away look very nice. You're welcome. Where have you seen God at work? Thank you for sharing with us this morning. All right, I've got a number of prayer concerns for you today. First, Joanne called me early this morning asking for prayers. Wasn't sure she'd be able to stay because of the weather and what's going on there. She asked for prayers for the brother of Shirley Packard. His name is Doug. Doug passed away. And we will keep Doug in our prayers today. Also, another friend of hers named Ralph has passed away. So we will ask God's presence to be with them as both families come together and grieve. Someone reminded me this morning. I don't recall who. It was Denise reminded me this morning not to forget that, as you may have seen in an email this week, Betty is having a biopsy on Thursday. So we will pray for Betty with the biopsy that she is having on Thursday. I got an email, as I'm waiting for my phone to recognize my face, I got an email from David asking for prayers. He said, for his sister Sandra, who had a mammogram and came back showing some abnormalities. She's having follow-up tests on Monday. Also for niece Jen's husband, Dan Goldman. He was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And so we will be praying for Sandra and for Dan this morning in our worship time together. Do you have other joys and concerns that you would like to share this morning as the body of Christ? Kathy?
I have a mixed bag today.
Mixed bag. We like those.
Let's start off with a big joy.
Joy. So we give God praise for that one. Amy had tests, as you recall, this past week. And as we hear, there was a significant regression and no spreading of the cancer. And so we give God praise for that. She's going to still have to go through some treatment, but that's really great news to hear. Second. Okay. Pray for Victoria. We are glad to hear she got home Wednesday. Now, though, back from what we hear last night, back in the hospital and had pulled the feeding tube out and was dehydrated and got some issues to resolve. So hopefully those will resolve quickly for her and she can get back to the life she wants. We will pray for her today. Are there others today, joys and concerns? Bert?
First thing, she just moved into the new apartment. She's out of the house.
We will pray for Kristen in the time of transition as she moves into a new apartment this week. We'll pray for her, for you, and for all involved there, certainly. And we will pray for Cody, the 24-year-old who was diagnosed with something incurable, has 1 year to live. So we will pray for him. We will pray for healing. Nancy?
Good news. My brother's granddaughter is negative.
Your your brother's granddaughter is negative for COVID. That's terrific news. And we will praise God for that. Are there other joys and concerns today? Hi, Ron. As he waves back at me, it's like he's signaling me. Thank you, Bev. I felt like there was one more. Linda did have another mini stroke to go along with the TIA. She had a TIA that went along with the mini stroke. And unfortunately, she is now not able to be at home anymore. So she will likely not be back, possibly at all, because she's not able to sort of be alone any longer. She's in the rehab facility that I mentioned to you in the email, I believe. If you want to reach out to her, I have her number. She would certainly appreciate phone calls. Eventually, she will be, if all goes according to plan, she'll be moving in with Tim once they kind of clear out some space, but that's going to take some time, so please pray for Linda. When we talked, her spirits were up, but she can't live on her own anymore. So please keep her in your prayers today. Thank you, Bev, for reminding us of that. Are there other joys and concerns? I'm thankful that we have a faithful God to talk to in these times. Let us be the church. Loving God, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and giving us fellowship, community, helping us to redefine what both of those ideas mean. We thank you for the folks who are present in our sanctuary, those who are present on Zoom and on Facebook, participating in ministry. We are your body, your people, your children. Thank you for bringing us together today in this way to worship you. It is because of your presence that we are, in fact, able to offer you our needs and our concerns. We are thankful to hear, Lord, first that Amy had significant regression and no spread of her cancer. As she continues down the path of treatment, be with her, be with those caring for her. Help her to gain final victory over this cancer. We were, in fact, glad to hear that Victoria made it home on Wednesday, got home yesterday, but now back in the ER, having pulled out the feeding tube with some of the issues related to medication, dehydration, God be with her. It has been such a long road for them, but a road that they walk where you are present. They cannot escape you or your love, so be with them today. We think of Kristen transitioning into a new living situation, an apartment. God be with her in that transition. With Bert and Nancy, as she is not living at home anymore. Watch over and bless them. We think of Cody, who was diagnosed with 1 year to live because of a disease that he has. We pray that that diagnosis is wrong, that he will recover, be fully healthy soon. God be with him. We do think of Linda. We pray that you would be with her as she recovers, as this time of transition happens for her and the uncertainty of it. God, remind her of your faithfulness. Remind her of the body of Christ who is praying, seeking your will and there to support her. We pray for Betty getting ready for a biopsy this week. Give her peace as she leads up to that biopsy and good results following it. The results that they need. Be with her. Be with Jim today. We think of the prayer concerns that Joanne has brought us for Ralph's family and friends, for Doug's family and friends. God, comfort both of these families. Wrap them in your grace and in your presence. Be with them in their time of struggle. We also pray for Sandra, coming back with some abnormalities following a mammogram. Be with her as tomorrow she has tests. We pray that those abnormalities would turn out to be nothing, that her healing would come for her. Be with her and her family. And finally, we lift up Dan Goldman to you. Stage 4 lymphoma is a scary thing for us to hear. We cannot imagine how scary it is for him and for his family. But loving and gracious God, be with them. Heal and restore them. Watch over them. Accomplish your will in their lives. We thank you, Lord God, for this time to worship. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who prays for us when we do not have the words, who intercedes for us in ways we cannot know, who supports us when the prayers and the concerns and the struggles of our day become too great. do not know how we will take the next step. Thank you for being faithful. Now, as we continue to worship you today, and as we head out into our own lives, into our world, watch over us, guide us, protect us, and speak to us. Hear us now, Lord, your children, as we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.